Watch, let not the wicked world with its lies defeat thee, lest with bold deception hurl in betray and cheat thee. Watch and see, lest there be faithless friends to charm you, who but seek to harm you. Watch against yourself, my soul, lest with grace you invoke. Let not self your thoughts control, nor God's mercy stumble. Try and sin, Lord, within all your hopes to save. Heed not when they flatter, but while watching also pray to the Lord unceasing. God protects you day by day, strengthen unceasing, so that still mind and will shall unite to serve him and forever love him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, now it's the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Have made my days as a few handbreadths, and my lifetime as it is nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. Glory be ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son, we pray, to lead home his bride, the Holy Church, that with all the company of the redeemed, we may finally enter into the eternal wedding feast. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for this, the last Sunday of the church year, is written in the 65th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 17th verse. For behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years shall be accursed, but shall build houses and inhabit them, they shall. And they shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain nor bear children for calamity. For they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer them. And while they yet are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hunt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. In many colored robes, the king daughter is led to the king. with her virgin companions following behind her. With joy and gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. The epistle lesson is written in the fifth chapter of St. Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica, beginning at the first verse. Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While the people are saying, there is peace and security, sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brethren, for the day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do. Let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live in him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Alleluia. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Alleluia. Gospel is written in the 25th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning at the first verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those maidens arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, perhaps there will not be enough for us and you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him into the marriage feast. The door was shut. Afterward, the other maidens came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he replied, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the hour nor the day. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The lamps are going out all over Europe, and we shall not see them lit again in our lifetime. That's what British Foreign Secretary Sir Edward Grey said on the 4th of August, 1918, when the Germans failed to respond to the ultimatum to respect the sovereignty and neutrality of Belgium. See, millions would die in the next 40 years from two European civil wars, as one historian called First and Second World War. And at that moment, 2 million Imperial German soldiers were crossing the Belgian frontier, and Belgium was at peace. They didn't want any part of anybody's war. They thought they would depend on their neutrality to stay out of it, but Belgium was in the way. And the Belgians had built some fortifications around Liège and Namur. Using the best engineers of the previous century, they'd built massive fortresses and 30-mile rings around those two cities. And they thought those cities would be enough of a bone that no one would want to choke on it too long. And they were wrong. They were wrong. The Germans had hoped the fortresses would surrender, but that's okay if they didn't. They brought several 305-millimeter Skoda mortars and a Krupp 420-millimeter mortar with them. And as soon as they got them into that 9-mile range, they began to lob them in and walk them up. And the defenders on those fortifications, those poor Belgian soldiers, as brave as they were, could hear them hitting the ground and sending out small earthquakes. Before they knew it, they were right on top of them, screaming in, breaking concrete, causing concussions that were causing the defenders to bleed out of their noses and ears and mouths. It was horrible. Some of the soldiers went literally insane. Till finally, after 24 hours and 45 of those shells, Great Fort Ponisset surrendered, and Liège fell. And the combined might of the Imperial German army began to hurl itself at the French frontier. You yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. The Belgians thought they were at peace, until it was too late, until their country was overrun. We think we're at peace too, don't we? Are we like the wise virgins or the foolish ones? Do we take enough oil with us? Because you see, like those Belgians, they trusted into those forts that they had constructed. Are we any different? Have we not also constructed fortifications of our own good works, built up battlements of our own good works and our own supposed goodness? But we don't realize that, like those Belgians, we're facing the crushing 305-millimeter mortars of God's law, and the crushing 420-millimeter mortars of God's law. And God is walking them up on us right now, isn't he? Can you hear them coming in, the scream of the shells that weigh almost 2,000 pounds? They're coming in. Be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. And there it goes. It hits. Boom. And here comes the concussion. And then the next one comes in, right? Holy. You are to be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Here it comes, screaming overhead, walking in on us. Boom. Getting closer. That one was closer. The plaster shook that time. The lights flickered. And then it comes again, right? Who can take refuge from him? Who can stand his indignation, as the prophet Nahum says? Who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury pours down like fire, and the rocks are thrown down upon us. And now it's overhead. Now we're bleeding out of our ears and mouths and nose. It's horrible. Because as Samuel says, as for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is flawless, and the shield, he is a shield to those who take refuge in him. But he's not a shield to those who take refuge in themselves. No, we who take refuge in ourselves just get hammered until we're destroyed. And that's what people don't understand. That's why there's this parable of the 10 virgins. five who were wise and five who were foolish. The foolish took no oil with them, and the bridegroom was delayed, and everybody slumbered and slept. And then the bridegroom appeared at midnight. Arise and trim your lamps and go into the wedding feast. And so they arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said, oh, our lamps are going out. Here, give us some of your oil. And the wise said, we can't give you any of our oil, lest our lamps also go out. And so go to the sellers and buy for yourselves. And they went to the sellers to buy for themselves. And then they found out when they returned that the wise had gone in with the bridegroom and the door was shut. When they pounded upon the door, when they cried out to the door that the bridegroom would let them in, what did he say? I don't know who you are. Will that be the verdict we face? Is God really talking about us? I mean, consider the finality of this, right? And consider it. Consider three things. Consider the fact that of the oil, the shut door, and the bridegroom's statement, I do not know you. The oil, the shut door, and the fact that the bridegroom, who we know is Jesus Christ, does not know the five foolish virgins. Consider them. Consider first the oil. What does the oil represent? Well, the oil represents holy baptism. It represents the forgiveness of sins and absolution. Because since ancient times, right, the church, when it baptizes a person, it anoints them with oil for exorcism, and then it baptizes them. And after baptism, they're anointed again with the holy oil of charism. They're sealed to the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit. Right? And also, the church since ancient times, since antiquity, has anointed the sick with oil, has anointed the dying with oil, has anointed our pastors with oil at ordination, has anointed the confirmands with oil. If I've confirmed you, I've anointed you with oil. You know this, right? And that's nothing different from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, David was anointed with oil. The kings of Israel were anointed with oil. Saul, Solomon, the others. The priests were anointed with oil. The prophets were anointed with oil. In fact, the word to be anointed with oil in Hebrew is Mashiach, which means to be an anointed one, which is literally the word for Messiah. In Greek, the word for anointed one is Christos, or Christ. So Jesus Christ is Jesus, the anointed one. David is the anointed king, his forefather. Thus the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, is the one who is anointed. He is anointed with the oil of Christ, the oil of God. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world is the anointed one. And he is the one that gives us faith. By believing in him, we are saved by grace through faith. And that faith is the oil that fuels the lamp of belief. Thus, the virgins whose lamps were going out, the foolish virgins, clearly lack faith in Christ Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. And without him, we can do nothing. Secondly, consider the door, the shut door. And how is it that the virgins who represent Christians, some of them were not prepared to enter? How is that? How could that be? Well, here Jesus stresses. Jesus tells us to watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in Matthew 24:36, when the Son of Man is coming. Yes, yes, but of that day and of that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but the Father only. Sorry, the first verse was 25:13, 25:36 was the second. But no one knows except the Father only. Even Jesus himself chooses not to know when the last day, when the eschatos haemeros, the last day will be. As Jesus says in Mark 13:8-35, take heed and pray, for you do not know when the time is. You do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether it come in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning. What I say to you, I say to all, watch, which is what the hymn we just sang, vakat alf, watch, wake up. This is serious. I think most Christians, we just sleepwalk through our lives not understanding that the end is coming. And the last day of the church year liturgically is about the end of the world. Are we ready? Fuck it, Elf. Wake up. Yes, but how do we watch? How do we do that? I believe by being in God's Word daily and deliberately making His Word and His prayer to Him part of our deliberate life. Daily we are to return, Luther says, to our baptismal grace through the confession of our sins, confessing our sins and receiving His holy absolution. Because when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins. As Jesus says, that God is one who takes mercy and always wants to have mercy, and He will not break a bruised reed. He will not quench a smoking flax. And that's why Jesus says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just men who have no need of repentance. Yes, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. But will we? Will we repent? Will we this day give up our favorite sins? And we all know what they are, don't we? Our favorite ones. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the Lord. Will we leave them in our past? Will we, metanoia, will we totally turn from them and embrace Christ and His mercy? Will we, like the wise virgins, receive from Christ the oil of faith that we need for our lamps? Or will we be like the foolish ones who love our sin more than we love God? Because I think that's the reason why the foolish virgins lacked oil. They loved their sin more than they loved God's grace and mercy. Yes. Those who lived a life of repentance lacked no oil of faith. So we're not shut out of the bridegroom's feast at His coming. Thirdly, the bridegroom says, "I do not know you." He's describing people here that thought they were believers, who thought they were Christians. Sad, isn't it? Troubling. He's describing people who believed that they were going to heaven, because that's what the feast is. It's heaven. And yet they did not get in. God did not know them. No, because they were, as Christ describes in Matthew 18, they were men who draw near to me with their lips and honor me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me. Or as Isaiah puts it, their worship of me is but rules taught by men. In other words, the foolish virgins represent people, and hopefully not us, who have a religion that seems a lot like Christianity. It's even kind of got that feel in that sense. But in reality, it's nothing about Jesus. It's only about what they want and about themselves. Jesus is merely the window dressing, the name on the sign, but it has nothing to do with what's really taught there. Hopefully that's not us, is it? That the things of God are at least less important than the things we want? It's interesting, isn't it? Do we say foolish things like, "I don't need to go to church to be a Christian," or "I don't have to be a part of an organized religion," or "I can worship God wherever I'm at. I really don't need His word or His sacraments," or "I don't really need to be submitted to Him. I don't need to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, do I?" That's what the foolish virgin says. But yet, why would God, in Exodus 20, tell His people that 6 days you will do all your work, and the seventh you shall rest, for it is a Shabbat unto the Lord, for on the seventh day the Lord rested, and you shall do no work in the day, but you shall worship me," right? Why did God say that? Well, Luther says in his small catechism what this means. He says that we should fear and love God so we may not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Why? Because again, faith comes through hearing, and hearing comes through the Word of God. Yet how can you believe unless you hear the Word? And how can you hear unless there is a preacher? And how can there be a preacher unless someone is sent? But if we exclude ourselves from the preachment of the gospel, if we exclude ourselves from the sacraments, then we are excluding ourselves from the oil of faith. And when the bridegroom comes, our lamps will be going out. We will not enter. us not be among the foolish virgins. Let us not be trusting in the fortresses of our own good works or our own supposed worth, but trust only in Christ, who is the true author and perfecter of our faith. In the name of Jesus, amen. Good morning. It's great to have you here, the final Sunday of the church year. Please note the blue news for this week. One of the things that's not really clear on the main page is that on Wednesday at 7 p.m. there will be a divine service for Thanksgiving Eve. So there's a Thanksgiving Eve divine service. That means a service with the sacrament. So I just want to make sure you all know that at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, there's a Thanksgiving Eve service on Wednesday. Otherwise, please note the blue news. One of the things that's coming up very shortly on the December 4th was we will have family promise at our church for a couple weeks. And right now we're expecting three families. That could change, but there's a sign up in the back and we need people for all kinds of positions. We need people to provide food. We need people to spend the night on campus. We need, you know, people to serve food. So just please look at the sign up sheet. And if you can help in any way, we'd really appreciate it. And I know that the homeless families would really appreciate it too. The Lord be with you. We also had several prayer requests this morning. And one is for Bennett White, who is a relative of the Whitfields, was hit and was in a hit and run motorcycle accident and is at ICU at Grady in Atlanta. Also, Bonnie Smith asked that we pray for her nephew, Chip Chappelle, and also pray for her sister, Karen Cote, both that have hiatal hernias, and then also
also we pray, we also, and also we have a prayer request from First Service from Jessica Cole, who asked that we pray for her friend Amy Martin, who is seeking wisdom about what to do about the treatment for her cancer, which is at a very late stage. So we ask that, she's asking that we pray for Amy, that Amy would make a good decision. Lord be with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace that is from above and for the well-being of the churches of Christ and for the God and unity of all Christendom, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for those who in faith, piety, and the fear of God offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. For Matthew and Eric, our shepherds and bishops in Christ, for all pastors and teachers and all people, let us pray to the Lord. For the United States of America and all its people, for Joe, our president, the Congress of the United States, for Kay, our governor, and the legislature of Alabama, and all our judges and magistrates, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and the sorrowing, for those who mourn, for those who are in need and distress, for the homebound and the infirm, especially we pray this day for Doris and Mary Ann, for Alice and Bill, for Joyce and Mary, for Mark and Eddie, for Norma and Kim and Suzette, for Bob and Martha, for Marilyn and Glenn, Dean and Terry, for Tony and Chris, Marion and Meredith, James and George, Larry, Dean and Earl, Suzette and Bob, for Mallory and Mark, Hank and Haley, for Jay and Tracy, Michelle and Carl, Karen and Jimmy, for Tina and Ainsley, Kevin and Ron, Thelma and Jesse, for Ralph and Theo, Easton and Doug, for Hugh and Waylon and Ryan. We pray for the families of our parish who mourn. We especially pray for the Heil family, the Blunt and Davis families, the Chant and Chant family, the Blackwell and Cooper families, the Tatum and Rogers family, the Teckel family, the Gross family, the Floriansig and Parsons family, the Freeman family, the Nielsen family, the Osbacher and Schwartz families, the Gallardi family, and the Whitfield family. We also pray, Heavenly Father, for those to whom death is drawing near and for us all, that when our last hour shall come, we may depart this life in the right, devout, and holy hope and the confidence of the resurrection of the dead. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Calling those who have gone before us in the faith and rejoicing to share with them the Sabbath rest which Christ has won for his people, that together with them we may be found faithful in the day of judgment, and rejoice in the day of the resurrection of the dead. Let us pray to the Lord. We also pray this day specifically for Karen, or Karin and Chip, and also Amy and Bennett. Almighty and everlasting God, the eternal salvation of them that believe, hear our prayers on behalf of thy servants, Karin and Chip and Bennett and Amy, who seek in supplication thy intervention, both to wisdom and also for healing. We pray that you would grant unto them whatsoever they implore thee for, whether it be for healing or wisdom and how to be treated, and that you would guide them during these times of sickness or injury so that they may make a full recovery and have a full restoration of their health, so that they may render thanks to thee in thy church. We ask this through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We also pray this day for all who will travel during this Thanksgiving week. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you watched over Abraham and Sarah in their many years of pilgrimage. You guided the Magi safely to the infant Jesus and back home again. We pray for all those who must travel during this next week, wherever they may go. We pray that you will keep them safe on the road and that their homecomings will be joyful and that the return trips will be safe as well. We ask this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with you, Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.